That one, that one. Claire included the one Hope held. That one, and the green suit. I get to try on the green suit. Fair. Take these. Hope handed the dresses to Avery. I'll get the suit. Obviously noting some initial decisions had been made, a clerk set up a dressing room, hung the dresses, offered sparkling water. Claire took the green suit first. Fine, get it over with, Avery shrugged, drank some fizzy water with lemon. It's got classic lines, Claire insisted as she changed. It's a good color for me, and the weather's iffy in April, so a jacket's smart. She turned to study herself in the triple mirrors. A really pretty green that brings out the green in my eyes, and with the right shoes. It's not romantic. No, it's not. It's a smart suit, Hope admitted. And it looks good on you. But it's not your dress, Claire. I admit defeat. Let me try that blue. It's a pretty quiet color, and it has nice lines. Avery set down her water, rose from the plush little love seat to circle after Claire made the change. Miles better. The color's great with your hair. I love the flirty hem, the little bustle in the back. I could work with this, Claire considered. Shoes with a little sparkle, maybe? It didn't make you glow, Hope shook her head. I think when you put on V1, it'll make you glow. But it is wonderful on you. It makes your waist look so tiny and shows off your legs. How about we put it in maybe? That works. We'll have a no and a maybe. She tried on another in a pale, dusty gold that immediately earned 3 thumbs down. Now the pink. Avery narrowed her eyes at Claire's expression. We had a deal. All right, okay, but pink's going to be too much. Plus, it's strapless, and I don't want strapless. Blah, 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 was Avery's opinion as she zipped Claire up. I'm not trying to be difficult. It's just not... Oh. She stared at her reflection. And she glowed. Claire, studying the bride-to-be, Hope let out a sigh. You look amazing. The color's fabulous against your skin, and that hemline... It's flattering, and it's romantic, and it's fun. Do the turn, Avery ordered. Oh, boy, look how it just floats, and the back, the little crisscrossing. Quietly sexy. It's got just a hint of a sheen. Just enough. It's romantic, and it's beautiful. And it's mine. No maybe on this one. I'm marrying Beckett Montgomery in this dress. You need to see it with shoes, even if they aren't the perfect shoes. Hope dashed for the door. Wait. Do the turn again, Avery requested. Claire laughed and this time did a spin. It feels wonderful on me. You were right. I love when that happens. I want my hair up, don't you think? Experimenting. Claire scooped it up and back with her hands. No headpiece, just a clip with some sparkle. You look so happy. I am so, so happy. I want to do this for you one day, you and Hope. I want to shop for your wedding dresses with you and know you're as happy as I am in this moment. I'd like that. At moments like this, Avery believed it could happen. She'd know that joy, have that faith, take that leap. She turned to get her phone. Let me take a picture of you in it. We can send it to your mom and to Justine. You're right, they should see. Front and back? Avery framed in. As she sent the pictures, Hope and the clerk came back with stacks of shoe boxes. And the happy madness began. On the way home, after a long day of dresses, shoes, accessories, with some honeymoon wardrobe added in, Avery stretched out in the back seat of the car and texted Owen. stopped for a late dinner and a reprise of the day's haul. Your soon-to-be S.I.L. is going to be a beautiful bride, and knock Beck's socks off. Her attendants aren't going to suck either. Heading home. Sorry it's later than I figured. Claire turned at the signal from Avery's phone. What's Owen have to say? That Beck hasn't been able to keep his socks on since he first saw you. That's a knock his socks off reference. And he wants to know if I want to head to his place. Do you? Hope asked. I can drop you there. I have to head up to Hagerstown first thing in the morning for supplies. Then I have a meeting with Beckett at the new space. She texted Owen back as she spoke. Plus, I know Owen's been putting in some time trying to find Billy.
Elizabeth's Billy?
Avery nodded at Claire. So far, not much luck. But then it's a tall order. I should just go home, get some sleep. It's nearly 11 already.
He misses me, he said.
Aw.
I know, right? Flutter, flutter.
I work till 4 tomorrow, but I can pick up some specific ingredients when I'm out in the morning, then fix another sample menu if he's up for it.
And he is, she announced.
I have a date tomorrow night with my boyfriend.
I swear, you look like you've been hit with the cute stick.
Avery just grinned at Hope.
That's how I feel.
What a great day. Maybe I'll call Owen when I get settled down in bed.
For phone sex?
Her grin at Hope didn't diminish.
That may be a portion of the agenda. Any tips?
Talk low, talk slow.
She's so wise,
Avery straightened up as Hope pulled in behind Vesta.
God, what a good, good day.
She leaned forward, kissed both her friends.
I loved it. I love you guys.
Pop the trunk. I know which bag is mine.
Tell Owen.
Hi, Hope said, making the syllable breathy.
From us.
I'll be too busy telling him hi from me. This was great. Absolutely and completely great.
See you tomorrow.
She grabbed her bag, slammed the trunk. After waving them off, she hurried into the back door. She'd been sure she'd be back before closing, but she was not, absolutely not, going in to look things over. She forced herself to continue past Vesta's rear locked door, turned on the stairway, and saw the woman sitting on the steps. Avery stopped where she was, instinctively moved the keys in her hand until one jabbed between her fingers. She considered options as the woman pushed to her feet. Avery was young, strong, and fast if necessary.
The restaurant's closed, she said calmly.
I know. I've been waiting for you.
If you're looking for work, you can come in tomorrow, during business hours. But right now,
don't you know me?
She stepped down. Avery braced.
I'm your mother.
In the wash of security lights, Avery studied the face. She saw it now, of course. She saw it now. But there were so many years between her last look and this one. So much time. So much distance. She waited for a surge of something. Something, but felt numb.
What do you want?
To see you. To talk to you. Can we go inside and talk?
Saying nothing, Avery walked up the stairs, unlocked her apartment door. She realized she did feel something after all. She felt dread. Chapter 15. Avery set her shopping bag aside, took off her coat, her scarf, every movement precise. As she draped both over the back of a chair. She remained silent and standing.
This is nice,
her mother's voice piped out with nervous enthusiasm.
You've got a real nice place. I was in your restaurant earlier. It looks great, really great. It's way professional.
She needed a root job, Avery noted, and didn't care if the thought was petty and unkind. Tracy McTavish, or whatever her name was now, wore a bright red coat over tight jeans and a black sweater. Avery's impression was of a frame more bony than slim, of a narrow face too carefully made up, and short, spiky blonde hair against harsh black roots. Every thought in her head, Avery realized, struck as petty and unkind. Well, too damn bad.
"What do you want?" she repeated.
"I wanted to see you. God, baby, you're so pretty. I love your hair. I always worried you'd go around with that howdy-doody red mop and those awful braces. But look at you. I just don't..."
Avery stepped back as Tracy started toward her.
"Don't think you're getting an Oprah moment here."
Tracy dropped her arms, her gaze.
"I don't deserve one. I know it, honey. I do. It's just seeing you all grown up, so pretty. I realize what I missed. Can we sit down? Can we just sit for a few minutes?"
"I don't need to sit."
"You're so mad at me."
Like a courageous patriot facing a firing squad, Tracy straightened her shoulders.
"I don't blame you. What I did, it was stupid and selfish and wrong. I'm so sorry, Avery."
"Oh, well, you're sorry."
Letting temper rule, Avery snapped her fingers.
"Bang! All better now."
"It isn't. I know being sorry doesn't make it okay. Nothing could, I guess. I did an awful thing, made a terrible mistake. I just wanted to see you."
Tracy managed as tears shimmered in her eyes.
"I thought maybe, now that you're grown up, you could understand a little."
"Understand what?"
"Why I left. I was so unhappy."
She fumbled the tissue out of her purse, then dropped down in a chair and sobbed into it.
"Nobody understands what I went through. Nobody can understand how it was for me. You can't see what's happening in someone else's marriage."
"Oh, I think a kid inside one gets a pretty good picture. You didn't just walk away from your marriage. You walked away from your daughter."
"I know. I know. But I couldn't stay. You were always more your daddy's girl than mine, so..."
"Be careful what you say about my father."
"I wouldn't say anything."
Obviously prepared, Tracy pulled out another tissue.
"He's a good man. Maybe he was too good for me. I shouldn't have married him. I made a mistake."
"Mistakes seem to be a habit with you."
"I was so young, honey. Just barely 19. And I thought I loved him. I really did. Then I got pregnant. So getting married seemed like the best thing to do. My parents were so hard on me when I told them. You don't know how scared I was."
Whatever sympathy she might have felt for a young woman in those circumstances evaporated before it fully formed. Avery remembered her grandfather. So kind, so patient, and the sadness in his eyes to the end of his life for the daughter lost to him. And her grandmother, strong, loving, and always a rock of support for her family.
"Did they kick you out? Threaten to?"
"They..."
"Careful," Avery warned.
"No, but they blamed me, and they said how having a baby meant I had to support it, and..."
"Imagine that! Imagine expecting you to take some responsibility. They were hard on me. They always were. I couldn't stay home with them picking at me night and day."
"So getting married was a way out?"
"It's not like that. I was only 19. I thought I wanted to get married and have a family, my own place. And Willie B., he was just so big and handsome, and he took care of things. You know, getting us a place and all. He was real good to me when I was carrying. I tried, I really tried to make a nice house and cook and take care of you when you came. You were a really fussy baby, Avery.
Shame on me.
I don't mean it like that. I wasn't even 20 when you came along, and there was so much to do.
I guess my father didn't do anything.
Tracy sniffled, pressed her lips together. He did a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. He did a lot around the house and all, and he'd walk the floor with you at night and rock with you. He was a good daddy.
I know he was. He is.
I did the best I could. I swear I did.
Eyes drenched, Tracy crossed her hands over her heart.
But honest to God, nothing ever got done that I wasn't doing it all over again. Then you started walking so soon, and you were into everything. I couldn't keep up. Even when I got a job and got you into daycare, there was so much to do, and it was always the same. He even wanted another. Jesus Christ, he wanted more kids, and I couldn't deal with that. When I had the abortion...
It was a sudden, sharp slap in the face.
You had an abortion?
Tracy's tear-splotched face paled.
I thought he'd have told you.
No. He didn't tell me.
You were 3, and my God, Avery, such a handful. I got pregnant again, even though I'd been real careful not to.
I couldn't go through it another time. I just couldn't, so I took care of it. I wasn't going to tell him, but we were fighting about something, and it came out.
You terminated a pregnancy without telling him?
He'd have tried to talk me out of it, and I'd made up my mind it was my body, my choice. You're a woman. You ought to respect that.
I respect the right of choice. But what choice did you give him? What respect did you show him?
He was your husband, the father, and you made that decision without telling him.
Or was he the father?
Of course he was! I wasn't cheating on him!
Then, Tracy stared down at her tattered tissue.
Well, I wasn't, and I couldn't handle another pregnancy. I was sick half the time with you, and got big as a house. I didn't want another baby. I had an abortion, and I had my tubes tied, and that was the end of it.
For you, Avery murmured.
He was awful mad, awful upset when he found out. And things just went from bad to worse with us. You've got to understand, he wasn't happy either. It wasn't my fault. We just weren't happy. But I went to the marriage counseling like he wanted. Nobody can say I didn't try. I just felt trapped and unhappy. But I tried.
Did you?
12 years. That's a long time, and all that time it felt like I had to be something I wasn't. A wife and mother. I wanted more. I know that's selfish, but I wanted more than working at the mall and coming home to this town day after day. It got so I hated this town and everything in it.
That's not healthy, is it? It's not healthy to live like that.
My whole life was passing me by and I couldn't catch up.
So you started having affairs.
I didn't mean to, it just happened.
I think having sex with men who aren't your husband takes some intent.
It was only twice before Steve. I wasn't happy. I needed more. I needed something for me.
So you cheated on your husband to get through the boredom of being a wife and mother, and when that wasn't enough, you just left?
Can I have some water, please?
Avery walked into the kitchen, filled a glass from the tap. She stood a moment, eyes closed, breath even, until she felt she had her bearings. Though she'd taken off the red coat, had it draped over her lap, Tracy continued to sit, a tissue crumbled in one hand, tears on her lashes.
Thanks. I know you hate me.
I don't know you.
I was there until you were almost 12, Avery. I took care of you. I did my best.
Maybe it was your best. That's very sad for both of us. But there's been a lot of years between then and now. You never once wrote me, called me, came to see me, not once. I didn't know if your father would have let me.
I told you to be careful. I won't warn you again.
All right. All right.
Dropping her gaze again, she smoothed at the coat.
Maybe I didn't feel like I could or should. I just know I had to go, and I did it the wrong way. Willie B., he wanted us to go for more counseling. All that would do was string it all out even more. I didn't love him, Avery. You can't live your life without love. I know how he thought. I do. We should try to make it work. We had you to think of. But you were going to grow up one day, weren't you? And then where would I be? Stuck here and older. Older and stuck here. Without any chance to live my life. I didn't make Willie B. any happier than he made me. What was the point?
You wanted out. Fine. You wanted to live your life. Fine again. There's this thing called divorce. It's hard, and I've heard it can be painful, tough on everybody. But it's how it's done in a civilized world where women don't leave their husbands, children, their homes without a fucking word.
I just...
She sniffled again, set aside the glass she'd drained.
I was in love. When I met Steve, I felt so much I'd never felt before. I couldn't think about anything else. It was wrong. I know it was wrong, but I felt alive and happy. I know I did wrong. I know I should have been honest with Willie B. instead of cheating on him. He didn't deserve it, but, honey, he didn't want what I wanted. I couldn't be who he wanted me to be. And when Steve got a chance, a real business opportunity, down in Miami, he had to go. I had to go with him.
You've been in Miami.
At first. I was so caught up in running away together. It seemed so romantic, so exciting. I knew your daddy would take good care of you.
Stop it! You never gave me a thought once you walked out the door.
That's not true! I didn't do right. I didn't think right, but I thought about you. I was real proud when I heard you'd started your own place. It's a good place. And I was real proud when I heard about it.
Little warning bells rang in Avery's mind. She hoped she heard only her own cynicism.
How'd you hear about it?
I looked you up on the internet now and then. I did want to know how you were doing, honey. I can't count the times I started to email you, and I was real sorry when I heard about Tommy Montgomery. He and your daddy were like brothers. I know Justine didn't like me much, but she was always nice to me. I felt bad for her.
That's your level of motherly interest? The occasional Google?
I was wrong. I don't expect your forgiveness.
I guess I just hoped you'd understand a little.
What difference does it make what I understand at this point?
I thought maybe you'd give me a chance so we could get to know each other again and...
What happened to Steve? The love of your life?
Tracy's face crumpled. Sobbing again, she dug for more tissues.
He died. In November. He just died. We've been together all this time. We traveled all over for his work, you know. He had his flaws, sure, but I loved him, and we were happy. Now he's gone, and I've got nobody.
I'm sorry. I am. But I can't fill that gap for you. I won't. You made your choices. You have to live with them.
I don't know how to be alone. Can't I just stay here a little while, a couple weeks?
Here?
Sincerely shocked, Avery gaped.
Absolutely not. You don't walk back after, what, 17 years of nothing and get an open door. You'll have to figure out how to go on living your life. You're not a part of mine anymore.
You can't be that cold.
I can, Avery corrected. Maybe I came by it naturally. Just a couple weeks is all. I don't know what to do, where to go. Something else, somewhere else. I'm still your blood, Avery. You're the woman who chose to abandon me and ignore me for more than half my life. Now you're alone, so you show up? And that's why you showed up, not to get to know me or whatever other lame excuse you have for it.
And God, the certainty of that made her tired.
That comes under the heading of still thinking of yourself first, last, always. I've listened to you, now I'm done. You have to go.
I don't have anywhere to go.
It's a big world. Take your pick.
If I could just stay the night, one night.
You're broke, Avery realized.
We had some
financial reversals. Things got tough, okay, and I could just use a little help getting back on my feet.
Everything coalesced on that single ugly point.
God, who are you? Money? You're serious. You want money from me?
I'll pay you back. If you could lend me a few thousand just to tide me over.
If I had a few thousand to spare, I wouldn't give it to you.
You own your own business,
Tracy gestured toward the shopping bag.
You can shop in fancy stores. You can spare me some, just as a loan. Don't make me beg, Avery. Please don't make me beg. 'Cause I will. I'm in trouble.
Grabbing her purse, Avery yanked out her wallet, pulled the bills out without counting.
There, that's it. That's all you get now, all you get ever. Now get out and stay out of my life. I don't want to see you again.
You don't know what it's like to be alone, to have nobody.
You're right.
My father saw to that.
Avery went to the door, opened it.
I said, get out.
Tracy walked to the door, paused.
I'm sorry, she said.
Avery shut the door, locked it, leaned back against it. When the shaking started, she let herself slide down to the floor. She listened to the footsteps echo away down the stairwell before she let herself weep. She made excuses to postpone her date with Owen. A change in schedule, too much to do, keeping it in a text, so she didn't have to actually speak with him. Stupid, she knew, but she didn't feel ready to put on a happy face,
mask over all the misery, the doubts, and the grinding anger. She didn't want to talk to anyone, so she avoided her friends, buried herself in work. But in small towns, friends tended to dig. She glanced up from building a gyro as Owen walked in. She sent him a quick nod, what she hoped came off as a harried smile as he slid onto a stool at the counter.
"How's it going?"
"Busy. I've barely had time to catch my breath the last couple days."
"So you said. Maybe you've got time to catch it now? Take a break?"
"I'm swamped."
"Really?"
Swiveling on the stool, he scanned the early lunch customers, counted two tables.
"I've got to take inventory," she decided on the spot. "Glassware's taken some hits."
"Change the subject," she told herself.
"How's it going across the street?"
"It's going. I thought you'd come over, take a look for yourself."
"I will, as soon as I can carve out a little time."
She slid the gyro in, shoveled out a pizza.
"What can I get you?"
she asked as she sliced it.
"The gyro looked good."
"Guaranteed."
He went over, got himself a cold drink, took his seat again.
"Is everything okay with you?"
"Well, I could use a break in the weather and a couple extra hours in the day. Otherwise, all good."
"Avery."
The tone forced her to look up, meet his eyes.
"What? It's a busy time, Owen. You know how it goes."
"Yeah, I do know how it goes. That's why I'm asking."
"And I'm telling you I'm fine. I've got to run this place. I've got to find a new delivery guy since I caught the one I just hired smoking a joint in the basement. I'm refining my business plans for the new place, have to decide on lighting, furniture, perfect the menu, help Hope throw a bridal shower for Claire. My car needs new tires, and my rep just told me cheese is going up."
And when she unreeled it that way, she decided she had every reason in the world to be impatient and stressed.
"I just don't have time to make you dinner and play right now."
"I got that, and it's not what I'm talking about."
"Then there's nothing to talk about. I've got stuff to do. That's it. That's all."
She stalked over to put his gyro in, take the other out, and caught the inside of her forearm on the oven.
"Shit!"
By the time she slammed the oven shut, turned, Owen was around the counter. He gripped her wrist when she tried to jerk away.
"Let me see."
"It's nothing. It happens."
"Where's your first aid kit?"
"I just need some aloe. That's why I keep a plant in the kitchen. Let me..."
He simply pulled her into the closed kitchen where Franny worked. Before Franny could speak, Owen jerked his head to indicate she needed to go out, and kept pulling Avery to the back.
"Will you let go?" she demanded. "I know how to take care of a damn burn. I've got customers."
"Stop it right now!"
The whip snap of his tone, so rare, stopped her protests. She said nothing as he switched on the cold water in the sink, held her arm under it.
"You weren't paying attention. That's not like you."
"You wouldn't shut up."
She set her jaw when he stared down at her.
"Well, you wouldn't. I can take care of this, Owen. It's just a burn."
"It's not blistering. Why weren't you paying attention?"
"Oh, for God's sake. I've got a lot on my mind. I'm busy. I messed up. It's not like I sliced a finger off."
He continued to hold her arm under the cool water while he studied her face. "I've seen you with a lot on your mind. I've seen you busy. If you don't think I know you well enough to see something else is going on, you're stupid.
Is there a problem with you and me?"
"There's about to be."
"Keep the water on that," he told her, then broke off a piece of her aloe plant.
"All I know is everything was fine when you were on your way home from shopping with Claire and Hope."
He cut open the fat leaf, scooped out the inside.
"And the next day, you're canceling and don't have time for two words."
He pulled a spoon out of the tray, mashed the aloe into paste. She should have known he'd be up on home remedies. Right at the moment, his patient efficiency made her want to stab him with a fork.
"Let's see that now."
He switched off the water, carefully dried her arm while he examined the burn.
"Not bad."
"I told you it wasn't bad."
"You also told me nothing's wrong, when it clearly is. Hold still."
Gentle, Thoreau, in a way that made tears burn the back of her eyes, he coated the burn with aloe paste. So something happened between the drive home and the next day. What?
Maybe I just realized I had a lot on my plate, and I need to get some of it off. Prioritize. Organize. We went from 0 to 60. Okay, more like 30 to 60, she amended when she got another Owen look. I need a little time to sort through everything, get my work squared away. The new restaurant needs attention now if it's going to work later. I got caught up in the 60. I let stuff slide.
Maybe. Maybe that's some of it, but it's not all of it. We're going to have to talk about this, Avery.
This isn't the time. I'm at work. I...
No, it's not the time. He laid a dry dressing from the first aid kit over the coated burn. But we're going to make the time. Make sure somebody changes that dressing later. He studied her face another moment, bent down, laid his lips on hers. Okay. He nodded, eyes on hers again. Okay. I'm going to take the gyro to go. Get back to work myself. I'll see you later.
Sure.
When he'd gone, she leaned on the sink, had a vicious argument with herself, followed by a short pity party.
Are you okay, Avery?
With a sigh and a wish people would stop asking, she glanced toward the doorway and Franny.
Fine. It's just a burn, nothing major. How is it out there?
We're pretty slow today.
Listen, I'm going to go upstairs, get some things done. If we pick up, just call, and I'll come back down.
No problem.
She cooked. Cooking was her teddy bear when upset, so she comforted herself by experimenting with a ham and potato soup and a smoked tomato bisque. She used her laptop in the kitchen to note down her tweaks. It calmed her, soothed her, settled her enough so she sat a while, soup simmering on the stove, worked on a layout for booths, high tops, low tops, sofa and chairs in her new space.
Knock, knock,
Claire called out.
In the kitchen,
so much Avery thought for alone with her teddy bear time.
I was going to grab a salad downstairs and Franny said you'd burned your arm and had a fight with Owen.
I didn't have a fight with Owen. I did burn my arm, but it's nothing. Claire frowned at the simmering pots.
Then why are you cooking up here? What's wrong?
Nothing. And the next person who asks me that is going to get a knuckle sandwich that won't be so freaking tasty. I'm testing recipes. We're slow downstairs, as I'm sure you saw for yourself. I'm grabbing some time to refine the menu for the new place.
I thought you were refining the menu on Owen.
Do you see Owen?
Avery demanded.
I have time now. I'm refining now.
You're upset. I haven't seen you for a couple days because you've been so busy, and now you're upset and fighting with Owen.
I'm not fighting with Owen. And if I'm upset, it's because everybody keeps hovering and asking me why I'm upset, including Owen, who just won't back the hell off.
You are fighting with Owen.
I'm not.
Though she ground her teeth nearly to dust, Avery managed a calmer voice.
I've been busy. Beckett's done with the plans, and they're submitted for the demo permit. Now the mechanical plans are in the works. I've got a ton to do yet, to plan and decide on. All while I run Vesta.
So you're nervous?
I'd be nervous too. But you know it's going to be great.
Knowing it and making it great aren't the same. Her stomach hurt from the evasions. Lying always made her stomach hurt. And added to the side effect, she just sucked at lying, evasions, and half-truths.
It takes a lot of time and thought, she continued, sticking with the theme. And that doesn't leave a lot of time and thought for boyfriends. So I think we should slow it down a little until I'm back on keel. That's all.
What did he do?
Nothing. Nothing. I swear.
Too tired to cry,
Avery just laughed at Claire's automatic assumption. I'm just a little overwhelmed right now.
At last, she thought, the truth.
It'll work itself out. Here, instead of a salad, try this. Avery got out a bowl, ladled in some of the potato soup, then sprinkled a little parsley, a little grated Parmesan on top. I have to decide on dinnerware, too. I may just go with restaurant white, then play up the linens, the glassware. Or maybe I need something bolder.
It's not going to matter. Claire spooned up another bite. Nobody's going to care what this is in. It's delicious.
Why are you so stingy with it?
Because you have to try the smoked tomato bisque, too.
Another bowl, another ladle, and a sprinkle of croutons, a basil leaf.
Oh, God, this is so good. It's smooth, a little creamy, and still has a bite.
Excellent.
To see for herself, Avery got out her tasting spoon.
Yes, excellent, she decreed. No more changes on these. I'll give you a container of both to take home for dinner.
You mean I have to share? Claire slid an arm around Avery's waist.
You'll tell me when you're ready?
Yes, she sucked at lying. Giving up, Avery leaned her head on Claire's shoulder.
Yes, just not right now.
She'd cooked through it, Avery decided. Or nearly. Wallowing wasn't getting her anywhere, and only drawing attention, the exact opposite of what she'd wanted. She tubbed up the potato soup, snagged some Italian bread from downstairs. That cost her an hour, but she didn't mind. Things had picked up for dinner, and though she wasn't scheduled, she pitched in a while. That, too, smoothed her mood. She needed to talk to her father, and hoped that would top off the recovery. He deserved to know, she reminded herself as she drove out of town. And he was the only person in the world from whom she never, ever kept secrets. She'd treat him to some soup, and they'd talk it out. They could talk anything out. But when she pulled in, spotted the bright blue Lexus with Nevada plates in his drive, her temper spiked. He didn't know anyone in Nevada. Moved around, Tracy had said. The McTavish gut told her Tracy had moved around most recently to Nevada and was here trying to dip into the next well. She charged into the house. Willie B. pushed out of his chair when Avery stormed in. Tracy stayed in her seat, eyes drenched, fingers twisting a soggy tissue.
You've got some nerve, you bitch!
Avery, you calm down!
Don't tell me to calm down, she rounded on her father. Has she got to the can you make me alone part yet, or is she still on the how fucking sorry she is?
Just sit down and...
What? Didn't she mention she'd paid me a visit a couple days ago?
No.
He put an arm around Avery, as much to restrain as to unify.
She didn't.
I was going to. I had to see Avery first, Willie B. I wasn't even sure I could face you at all, and I wanted to see Avery, to tell her I'm sorry. And to hit me up for money.
I'm broke. I'm in trouble. That doesn't stop me from being sorry.
Her fingers trembled as she gave up on the tissue and knuckled a tear away.
I wish I'd done things different. I wish I'd been different. I can't change any of it. We lost the house right before Steve died. Everything went wrong. He had some deals in the works, and it all fell through. He didn't have time to turn things around.
You've got a shiny new Lexus in the drive, Avery pointed out. Sell it.
It's leased, and I'm going to lose that too. It's all I've got. I just need a stake until I can find a place, get some work.
You took money from Avery? Willie B. demanded.
Color flooded Tracy's face.
I just need a loan.
How much?
When Tracy shook her head and wept again, he turned to Avery.
How much?
I don't know exactly. Whatever was in my wallet. More than I usually carry because I was going out and wanted cash if I needed it.
Anger, so rare in her easygoing father, kindled in Willie B's voice.
You walked away from my girl, Tracy. Now you come back and take her money?
She's got her own business. She's got a nice place. I did my best by her as long as I could.
No, you didn't.
He kissed Avery gently on the top of the head.
Have you talked to your mother, Tracy?
She helped me out some right after Steve died. Everything was a mess. I didn't know he owed so much money. She helped me some, but she said that was all I'd get. She meant it. I went to see her before I came here, and she wouldn't help.
How much are you looking for?
Daddy, don't.
You hush, Avery.
But you can't.
This is my business.
He didn't raise his voice. He never had to. He simply stared Avery in the eye.
You hush. How much, Tracy?
If I could have 5,000 to get me settled, I'll pay you back. I swear it. I'll sign papers. I know I've got no right, but I've got no one else.
Avery, you go up, get my checkbook. You know where I keep it.
No, I won't.
You do what you're told, and you do it now. You want to argue with me, we'll do it later.
Now he laid a hand on Avery's shoulders.
You can say your piece to me, but not now. That's our business, not hers.
He rarely drew a hard line, but once he did, it didn't budge.
All right, but it's going to be a big, ugly piece.
She stomped upstairs. Stomped back down. He sat, opened the checkbook.
I'll give you the 5,000. It's not a loan.
But I'll pay you back.
I don't want you to pay me back. Unless Avery has a change of mind. I don't want to see or hear from you after you leave. You take the money and go. I hope you find your way.
I know you hate me, but...
I don't hate you. You gave me the light of my life, and I don't forget it, ever. So I'll give you what you need, and we're done.
A hard line, Avery thought again, and he'd drawn it for her.
I want you to send me your address or a phone number when you're settled,
Willie B. continued.
To me, Tracy, not to Avery. You don't contact her again. If she wants to talk to you or see you, she can come to me, and I'll give her what you send me.
All right.
He folded the check, handed it to her.
Thank you. You kept the place real good. You're a good man. I mean that.
I expect you do.
She's beautiful.
Tracy pressed a hand to her lips.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for everything.
I expect you are. You'd best go on now. It's dark, and there might be weather coming in later tonight.
Gathering herself, Tracy stood.
I guess you were the best thing I ever did,
she said to Avery.
And I did the worst thing to you. It's hard knowing that.
When Tracy left, Avery walked to the window, watched her drive away.
Why did you give her that money?
Because she's grieving. She lost someone she loved, and now she realizes she threw away something precious. She'll never get it back, so she's grieving over that too. And because, for us, it closes the door. Why didn't you tell me she'd come to see you?
That's why I came tonight, to tell you. I couldn't talk about it for a while. I should have told you. Then you'd have been prepared.
I should have called Grandma. I just closed up. It hurt, so I closed up.
I know. He went to her, folded her into his big arms.
But tonight, when I saw her, it just made me mad. That's better, isn't it?
For you? Always.
Holding her close, he swayed her side to side.
We'll be all right, baby. You and me, we're going to be just fine. Don't you worry.
Soothed by his voice, his scent, the mere fact of him, she pressed her face to his chest. You told me that then, and a lot of times between now and then. It's always been true. I love you so much.
I'm bigger. I love you more.
She laughed a little, squeezed hard. I made soup. The McTavish Cookout the Blues potato and ham soup.
Sounds just right.
I'll go get it out of the car.
Chapter 16. Owen opted to work in the shop. It gave him time to think. Okay, maybe brood was the word, but he felt entitled. Just as he started to take the next steps, she pulled back. What kind of sense did that make? While he makes the effort not to let things just slide, to be sure he wasn't taking her for granted, to treat their relationship like a damn relationship, she's suddenly too busy to spare 10 minutes of her time. What kind of bullshit is that? He demanded of Cuss, and got a sympathetic tail thump as an answer. He measured his board, marked it, and remeasured automatically before feeding it into the saw. She likes being busy, he continued over the scream of the blade. She likes the freaking chaos of a crazy schedule. But out of the blue, she doesn't have time. Not to go out, to stay in, to have a goddamn conversation. He switched off the saw, stacked his board, pulled down his safety goggles. Women are a pain in the ass. But Avery never had been, wasn't supposed to be, so it all made less sense. Something was up with her. Didn't she get he could see it? Avoiding him, making excuses, closing off when she'd always been up front. She was acting like...
Uh-oh.
He'd started taking her out, making plans. Christ, he'd given her jewelry. He'd changed the balance. Was that it? She didn't want that next step. Everything had been fine, had been smooth until he'd started treating their thing like a thing. Casual and easy, all good. Add a few shades of serious and she pulls the plug. Just sex? Fine. But try a little romance, he supposed, and she shuts the door. And made him look, made him feel like an imbecile. Couldn't she have told him if she wanted to keep things simple? Didn't he and a lifetime of friendship rate that? Plus, fuck it, didn't he have a say in the whole business? Damn right he did. I'm not her damn sex toy. Words a mother longs to hear from her beloved son. On a wince, Owen shoved his hands in his pockets.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Owen. Justine closed the shop door behind her, rubbed her chilled hands together. What's going on?
Just working on one of the built-ins for Beck's place.
You're a good brother.
Yeah, well, I had some time. I didn't see your car when I came in.
I just got back. Both dogs wandered over to press against her, tails batting. I was over at Willie B's. I took him some dinner, gave him a sounding board. I'm surprised you're being a good brother instead of doing the same for Avery.
What? Why?
They... Avery hasn't talked to you about anything?
That's exactly right. Annoyed, he pulled off the goggles. She hasn't talked to me about anything. At all. Too busy. Not enough time. What the hell is going on?
That's a question for her. Go ask it. Mom, come on. Baby, this is something Avery should talk to you about. If she doesn't, then I will. But she should tell you. The fact is, from where I'm standing, she should have talked to you already.
You're starting to freak me out. Is she sick?
No, no. Stubborn, I'd say, and wrong-headed.
Moving to him, Justine sighed a little.
You're a practical man, Owen. God knows how that happened. I don't know whether to tell you to be practical or not when you talk to her, but I will tell you to try to be patient.
Is she in trouble?
No, but she's troubled. Go, talk to her. And later, you and I will have a talk, too. Go on, she said when he grabbed his coat. I'll get the lights.
She watched him go, rubbing the heads of the dogs that leaned against either side of her.
He's in love with her. It's all over him. But he hasn't figured it out yet. And she sure as hell hasn't figured it out.
Standing in the scent of sawdust, wood oil, Justine all but felt Tommy's cheek against hers and closed her eyes to hold on to it for just a moment.
It was easier for you and me, wasn't it, Tommy? We didn't do all that thinking. Oh, well. Come on, boys. Let's close up shop.
He checked the restaurant first. Dave worked behind the counter, tossing dough. Is Avery in the back? Owen asked him.
Out on deliveries. We haven't got a delivery guy yet.
Are you closing tonight?
Avery is.
Will you close? Dave raised his eyebrows and a ladle of sauce.
Sure, if...
Good. Owen pulled out his phone, stepped away from the counter as he punched Beckett's number. I need a favor. When Avery came in 20 minutes later, flushed from the cold, Owen was sitting at the counter nursing a beer.
We got some flurries coming down, she began. Not sticking to the roads yet, so we should be all right on deliveries for...
He saw her spot him, saw her hesitate, and thought, fuck this.
Hey, Owen.
I need to talk to you.
I'm on deliveries,
she gestured with the insulated bags she carried before stacking them.
Let me just...
He rose, left his beer. Out here, he said, and taking her hand, pulled her toward the stairway door.
I've got to move the deliveries out.
Beckett's filling in.
What? No, he's not. I'm...
Going to have a conversation with me, now.
I'll have a conversation with you later. I've got deliveries, and I've got to close tonight, so...
Beckett's on deliveries. Dave's closing. He knew that light of battle in her eyes, and at the moment, welcomed it.
I run this shop. You don't.
It's running, and you can go back to it after we talk.
This is just bullshit.
She started to push by him.
Yeah, it is.
To simplify things, he boosted her up over his shoulder and started up the stairs.
Have you lost your mind?
She bucked, shoved.
I'll kick your ass!
Keep it up, and I'll end up dropping you on your head. It might be an improvement.
Clamping down on her legs, he pulled out keys with his free hand, juggled out his set to her apartment.
Owen, I am warning you.
He shoved the door open, booted it closed. He knew her temper all too well. She'd punch, kick, and wasn't above biting. Since he didn't want her teeth marks on him, again, and didn't want to hurt her, he considered his options. Superior weight and reach, he decided, and hauled her into the bedroom.
Don't you even think about...
The rest of the words came out in a whooshing grunt as he dumped her on the bed, laid on top of her, and clamped her arms down.
Just calm down, he suggested.
My ass!
She could be quick as a snake and sneaky as a shark, so he kept all his body parts out of range of her teeth.
Calm the hell down, and we'll talk.
I'm not letting you up until you promise not to hit or bite or kick or throw anything.
A light of battle escalated to an explosion of full-out war.
What gives you the right? Do you think you